We come to the conclusion of our series on the armor of God, looking at the final verses from Ephesians chapter 6 of that section there, verses 18 through 20. But let us read together the whole of that passage, again reminding ourselves of what is being spoken of and what is being thought back on as we read those final verses. So let us hear together the word of God from Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's word this morning, we look at what God says, what Paul says in the conclusion of the armor of God. We're reminded that we need the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And notice how it is concluded, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. To what end? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need, as Christians, to be people of prayer. We need to realize that in the midst of battle, we need to be in conversation with our God, with the, if you will, the admiral, whatever you want to call it, of our forces. To do those things, we need to be reading the Word, because that is how God speaks to us. And we need to be in prayer to God, to spend our time in talking to Him, in bringing our supplications, our needs to Almighty God. And that we are those who are ready and always in prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. And another aspect of it is that we pray for the ministry of the gospel. God's people very much have a central part in the preaching of the gospel, not just as the objects. Perhaps you think that's what's going on. I speak and you listen. That's church, right? But central to your receiving that gospel is your praying for the preaching of it. That God would prepare your hearts, but that God would prepare my ability to speak. Notice that's the aspect that Paul speaks of. And for me, that utterance may be given to me. Of course, this is Paul speaking. That he would be able to speak. And so as we look at this passage, and we're going to fill out these things, God uses our fervent prayers to make this armor effective and to spread his gospel. That's the theme that we want to look at. God uses our fervent prayers to make this armor effective and to spread his gospel. In verse 18, we see that we are to pray always and watching always in steadfastness and in supplication. And in verses 19 through 20, we are praying that the gospel would be freely and broadly preached. So first of all, praying and watching always in steadfastness and supplication. Praying always, being watchful that we may stand in the battle through everything by prayers and supplications. The emphasis here is on the through everything. Always is how it's translated in the New King James. Through it all, we need to be in prayer. There will be many difficulties. We're talking about a battle here. Through it all, we are called to spend our time praying to Almighty God, to come before His throne of grace. That's where we get our strength. Not ourselves, not even necessarily in the reading of the Bible. Certainly there is great strength to be there, but in prayer. That we pray and spend our time with God in that manner. We receive through reading the Bible, and we bring our needs to God through prayer. Prayer and supplications. Bringing our prayers that we can offer before God, and He hears us. I don't think that blows us away as much as it really should. That God hears our prayers. The God of the universe, who holds the stars in His hands, He cares about puny little things on this little planet by this little star. God cares about what we say and what we say to Him. And that we can bring our prayers and our supplications. Now, what's the difference between a prayer and a supplication? Supplications are our requests before God. Prayers certainly have that aspect, but prayer ought to have much more than just the idea of, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. But we are to spend our time glorifying God in prayer. That is central to what prayer is. We're going to be talking about that this morning and in the coming weeks in our Sunday school. What is prayer? Why do we pray? And how do we pray? That we are called to come before God, before His throne of grace, and bring our needs to Him. God cares about our needs. How awesome is that? The infinite God that we just talked about reading out of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And we need to understand this as well. Not that God doesn't know what we need before we pray. That's one of Jesus, as He, before He teaches the disciples the Lord's Prayer, He tells the disciples that very fact. That God knows what you need before you pray. And so we are to come before God. When we bring our needs before Him, we're saying, I know where this comes from. That God is the one who supplies our needs. Not our strength, not our abilities, but God. And that's why, as Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, He taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Because God gives it to us. Even if we have piles of stuff stored up, God gives it to us and the ability to eat it. And why? That we, to this end. And what is the end? We'll go back, as we said, to the beginning of the armor of God, that we may be able to stand. For we wrestle against flesh and, or we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We need to be in prayer to stand in this battle. To stand in a spiritual battle where we cannot see the enemies. Prayer is central to the use of the weapons we've been talking about. We don't then go through the weapons that we've talked about and say, okay, get it, learn how to use it. Learning how to use it, one of the big aspects of that is learning how to pray about it. To start with prayer. Instead of, oh yeah, I need to pray about this quick at the other end. Steadfast in prayer and in supplication for all the saints. With all perseverance. Steadfast. Now what's that mean? Through intense difficulties. Think about Jesus' teaching concerning prayer. That we were to pray. When Jesus prayed in the middle of difficulties. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he taught the disciples to pray. He taught that he needed prayer. What an awesome thing it is that the Son of God, who is God, needed to pray in his time on this earth. And we are to pray with all supplication, as we said, bringing our requests to God. Prayer is far more than just this, but we ought to make our prayers bringing our needs before God. Don't forget that. I was reading about a particular person who was talking about his prayer life, and he set aside his supplications for a while. That's not a bad thing, because we get so stuck on our supplications, our needs. Lord, by the way, you didn't know. I need. But prayer is far more than just supplication. We need to come before God. Think about the Lord's Prayer. How much of that time is really about our human needs? Certainly they are all about, but we think about the start. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then finally we come to what we normally think about. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh Lord, we start with that stuff. And notice another thing that I've noted is there's an awful lot of people who spend a lot of time saying thank you, thank you, thank you, which I think is important. But notice that's not how Jesus taught us to pray, is it? It is supplication. It's all supplication, really. But notice that it is about God and about His glory and about His needs, first of all. Because God deserves those things more than we deserve and need the things that we most think we need. But then notice, for all the saints. Prayers and supplications for all the saints. Prayer, so often again, is just about me. We need to be praying for all Christians, for our fellow believers, for our members of our church. You got that church directory? Don't just sit it on the shelf. Get it out. Pray for your fellow members of the congregation. Think about them day by day. Don't have to pray the whole thing, but it's an opportunity to pray for each member of our congregation. Thinking about the Lord's Prayer. Prayer is about God's will. Your will be done. In the midst of the battle, we need one another. That we pray for one another in battle, not just for myself. We need to be covering one another's backs, if you will, in the midst of battle. Pray for all the saints. Pray for our brothers and sisters across this world. We get papers on what's going on with the Westminster Biblical Missions. Pray for the seminaries. They need that so badly. Especially, I highly recommend to you praying for the young men who are in seminary from our denomination. Because that's a hard, hard, hard job to learn at the rate at which they try to teach. Pray for them. And then notice where he goes, praying and watching always with steadfastness and supplication, praying that the gospel would be freely and broadly preached. Paul says, and for me. Now, Paul had stood through many trials and difficulties, and he had stood firm, yet he needed the prayer of his fellow Christians. God uses the prayer of the church to bring about the correct ministry of the gospel for the church. I think part of the reason many churches have fallen away, people have fallen away from being praying people. If anyone could do it on his own, Paul could, right? No, Paul needed their prayers. And if Paul needed prayers, pastors today need your prayers much more. Pray for me. And he says, in order that to me may be given a message to speak. Now that has a little different twist on it today than it did for Paul. Paul didn't have the New Testament from which to work. He expresses the desire that he would be given a correct message to speak. Utterance. And he needed God to make clear to him what he was to understand from the events of what was going on in the world around him. And the Bereans checked Paul against the Old Testament, and that was a good check. But we now have the whole Bible. And so the situation is slightly different today, but very much analogous. The message is clear in the Scriptures, yet many people misunderstand it. And I need your prayers that I can understand it and explain it well to you. That I can bring messages that are accurate to the Scriptures. And you are called to check my messages against the whole of the Scriptures. If Paul needed to be checked, you need to check me. And how can you do that? I highly recommend to you reading the Bible so that you have the whole context in your brains by which you check me. Because believe me, I don't get it right always. You need to be wise enough to know whether what is being preached from a pulpit is the truth. And Paul says that God would open my mouth freely to make known. There's a major contrast going on here. Paul is in chains for the sake of the gospel in the middle of this warfare. He is a prisoner from that perspective. And yet, what does he say? That I may speak boldly, freely of the gospel. Through chains, Paul is free to bring that gospel, and he needs prayers to that end. I may be free to preach today. That may not be true forever in this nation. Pray for that freedom. That doesn't happen by accident. Pray for freedom even despite binding laws, as have been happening across this nation. Whether we think of California or many other states are actually doing similar things by fining churches for gathering together. Pray for the freedom of the gospel, even in the midst of a culture and a world that is fighting against it, whether they know it or not. God frees us from the binding of man to bring that gospel. Now, Paul didn't get outside of his house arrest, and yet he was able to preach the gospel. Think as well of the disciples in Acts who rejoiced to be beaten for the preaching of the gospel. Reading in Philippians 1, verses 12 through 18. But I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me which have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has been evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest by that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter, out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Look at that perspective that Paul has. Even in chains, that he would be freely able to preach the gospel, and the gospel would not be chained. to bring that mystery, the wonder of God, become flesh to save sinners. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of the gospel. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. The message of Christ is a mystery to the world, is a mystery really to our hearts. Because Christ came into the world, Almighty God came into this world to save sinners. And praying that God would use His bound messenger to freely preach the gospel. Because of which, for the sake of the mystery of the gospel, though Paul is bound, though Paul is a prisoner of war, if you will, yet God can use him. How much more you and I free to bring that gospel through prayer to a world that is so in need. We as church members have a part in the preaching of the gospel week by week by our prayers for the one who brings it to us, the one who preaches it to us. He says, I'm an ambassador in chains. Now think about that. What's an ambassador? Does the ambassador speak on his own behalf? What happens if he does? It's a bad idea, right? Well, as a pastor, I'm an ambassador for God. I don't get to speak on my own. And I need your prayers to that end. Every pastor needs your prayers to that end. Remember verse 19, in order that utterance may be given to me of the right message from God. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And he says again, in order that I may speak freely. The public, free preaching of the gospel, even from one who is chained at this point. And God uses us where we are. Whether chains, anywhere else. We don't have to change what we are from that perspective to be witnesses to Christ. We don't have to all go to seminary to be witnesses to Christ. First of all, we need to be praying for the message of the gospel. Second of all, we need to understand that God uses weak, broken, sinful people to bring that gospel. And he says, as it is necessary that I speak. What did Jesus say? If these keep silent, the rocks will cry out. And brothers and sisters, let us not be silent. And it is necessary that we have the right message, the message of God, not the message of the ambassador. That we have the message of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, God uses our fervent prayers. We need to be fervent in prayer. This is not something that we can do just blah, 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 blah. Prayer is central to what we are as Christians. And God uses them to make this armor effective. And, God uses them in the spreading of His gospel, in His gospel being preached to us, and His gospel being preached as missionaries to the ends of the earth. And we need to be praying for the church to the ends of the earth, praying for missionaries, that God would send them out, and praying that God would use them effectively, because He can and He will. He promises that. Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace and prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You are the one who makes our prayers effective. That You use our prayers as a part of Your divine decree, as a part of Your divine plan from before the foundation of the world. And we thank You, Lord, that You use us as a part of that. We pray, Lord, that we would be instant in prayer, that we would be praying without ceasing, and that we would have perseverance in prayer, that we would not see this as something that's just easy, but that we would labor in prayer for your people, for the effectiveness of the armor that you have given to us, and for the effectiveness of the gospel preached and lived in a world that is so in need. Help us, Lord, to not be silent. We thank you for the wonder of the created world which cries out concerning you. But we pray, Lord, that we would be louder than that. That we would cry out the wonders of our awesome God and Savior. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for us. And we pray that we would live as those who have been bought with the price of your blood. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.